call our council meeting to order. It is Tuesday, August 21st, 2018, at 7:00 p.m. We are meeting in the Cedar Coast Community Recreation Center. We will start our meeting with a pledge given by Councilmember Geddes and an invocation given by Councilmember Helser.
Congratulations to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for this opportunity to meet together as a city council and as citizens of this great city. We're grateful for the opportunity to express our opinions and ideas, plus that we have a spirit of cooperation here and a listening ear, and we pray for the things in which we express them.
Next item is an approval of the meeting's agenda. Someone wants to make that motion?
I will move that we approve the meeting's agenda.
The motion was made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We will move on to item number three. Thank you. Which is our public comment period. And it looks like I only have one individual who signed up for the general public comment period. So that is Josh. Van Amstel. Josh, come on up. You'll have 3 minutes if you can start with your full name and your address, please.
Sure. My name is Josh Van Amstel. I live at 3516 West Cape Drive, Minneapolis. I would like to propose the installation of a radar speed sign on or near the beginning of the downhill bend of Canyon Heights Drive, or half of my boundary of Canyon Heights Road, ending at the intersection of Lower Hillside Drive. For those of you that may be unaware, this corner shares two pedestrian crosswalks that are frequented by students in the early morning hours of work, commuters, and again as school gets out. Almost daily, I witness mindless and sometimes aggressive drivers rounding the bend there as there is no further speed bumps to slow traffic there. The neighborhood. The bend also happens to be a downhill blind curve with landscaping frequently prevents drivers from knowing of any upcoming hazard, including but not limited to residents backing down their drives and, more importantly, kids walking through the spot. Additionally, drivers frequently cross the solid white line members street parking of guest vehicles due to high speeds. I discourage my visitors from parking the areas that are going to be rear-ended by unassuming motorists. It's my personal opinion that the solar radar speed sign installed in the curve is discouraging the residents from speeding down the entire sky. It will cost them which lives they involve in cars or incalculable and have been to public events.
Thank you. We will discuss that. I have a meeting with our city manager tomorrow, so we'll discuss that further and get back to you. All right, everybody else that has signed up, I have listed for the public hearing, is that correct? Is there anybody else who wanted to make a comment during the public comment portion? Okay, we will go ahead and close that portion of our meeting then and move on to item number 4 and 5, which are city reports of business, starting with Mr. Goodman.
Yep. Tot soccer kicked off tonight and then was promptly rained out. But kindergarten through second grade starts on Saturday, and flag football starts on September 4th. The theater and karate programs also just began, and both are off to a great start. We're excited about those. And then this is the first year that the city's done a damsel in distress self-defense class. Classes for the summer. They finished up this last week, and we had a few people show up to each class. We're excited about the class, and we'd like to see more people sign up in the future. We met with the new administrators over at Lone Peak to get the junior jazz season scheduled, and we're reaching out to them to have them to introduce themselves as we try to coordinate many things with the local high school there. It's a good partnership we'd like to keep going. And then the golf course is now the new home for the Sky Ridge High School boys golf team, so we're excited to host them here. We want to offer give a shout out to Walmart and Ernie's and all of the resident volunteers for their work at the community breakfast that we had on Saturday. The help that we received, especially from Walmart and Ernie's, was exceptional and made the event go very smoothly. And then finally, the city is offering a new class, Hike Fitness. It's going to be downstairs at the beginning of September 10th. The classes will be free for the month of September. We're excited about this opportunity, and if you want more information, go to cedarhills.org. It's on the front page. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Just a little bit additional beautification, recreation, parks, and trails committee. They did a great job with the pancake breakfast. Sounds like everybody had a good time. It was scheduled from 9 to 10:30. Ran out of food about 10 o'clock, and there were a few people that showed up at the last part and weren't able to get everything that had been offered. And so hopefully we can work with the committee to make sure that there's adjustments made for next year, but people really enjoyed it.
Thank you. That's where we're waiting. For me, you know, as you probably have seen some towns who started up their legislative policy committee meetings again, so I attended that this week. And the focus was on upcoming legislation. Big topic is going to be affordable housing again. So I have had conversations with representatives from the Utah Housing Gap Coalition, the Utah Housing Coalition, which are two different things, and the Commission on Housing Affordability, just to explain our perspective from a city of our size, in addition to understanding what they're trying to accomplish. So that way, as legislation is being proposed, they have a better understanding of the unique challenges and struggles that cities of our size face when it comes to the legislation that is being proposed to deal with that affordability issue. So we'll continue to work with ULCT on that. Councilmember
Ellsworth.
Yeah, I remotely attended the Utah County Dispatch meeting, and something that they mentioned in the meeting was that they would like to be more involved in our community. And if we have events where we think it's appropriate for the Utah Village or Utah County Dispatch to attend, and they would love to be invited to our events. So just keep that in mind when we plan our events.
Great. Councilor Davis.
Report.
Okay, so we will move on to item number 6, which is a review action of the public hearing on an ordinance amending city code Title 10, Chapter 3, regarding rezoning a portion of Lot 26, the Cedar Hill Subdivision Flat. Is it I?
I.
From the PF public facility zone to the R1 11,000 residential zone and vacating the open space provision of a portion of Lot 26, Cedar Hill Subdivision Flat I, and to amend the official zoning map to reflect these zone changes. And how we're going to do this is we're going to have a presentation first for Mr. Goodwin. We may have the applicant speak and a member of the Planning Commission speak. After the presentations are over, then we will open it up to the public hearing, and then the council will go into deliberations and a vote. Mr. Goodwin.
Yes. So, I apologize to the public. They probably heard me give this presentation upwards of 10 times, so there we go down. I think let me just start with, we did not have a couple of council members here last meeting, so let me just start with some history on this piece. This flat was originally approved by Utah County in 1976, 1 year prior to the city of Cedar Hills incorporating. So originally it was an unincorporated county subdivision. As part of this original subdivision, there were approved open spaces. There's a number of plats as part of the Cedar Hill subdivision, but in this plat I, there's this lot 26 that weaves its way in between these homes back here, the Stoke Road, North Mill Road. And so the lot in question is this lot right here. You can see it's hard to read, but it says open space, lot 26. This was approved in 1976, and typically when the city approves a subdivision with open space, that open space is then dedicated to the municipality. So you'll see that the city owns a lot of hillside parcels, and that's because that was a part of the open space dedication for other subdivisions. Many of the parks, trails are part of the open space dedications for other subdivisions as well. In this case, where it was approved in 1976, there was no city to dedicate that open space to. So it was held privately by the developer. In 1983, I believe it was, it went to tax sale auction, at which point the city did not purchase it. I wish we would have, but it, that, I was two. So I'm not to blame. But we did not purchase it. Anyway, it remained in private hands, and it's remained in private hands ever since. It's changed hands at least one or two times since then. Nonetheless, this is kind of a conundrum where we have open space that is privately held. Now, with that, I want to read a section of Utah State Code that outlines the city's jurisdiction as it relates to land use. It says, this is State Code 10-9A-102. It's found in the Land Use Development Management Act. It says, municipalities may enact all ordinances, resolutions, and rules, and may enter into other forms of land use controls and development agreements that they consider necessary or appropriate for the use and the development of land within a municipality, including ordinances, resolutions, rules, restrictive covenants, easements, and development agreements governing uses, density, open space, structures, buildings, energy efficiency, light and air, air quality, transportation, public or alternative transportation infrastructure, street and building orientation, width requirements, public facilities, fundamental fairness and land use regulation, considerations of surrounding land uses, and the balance of the foregoing purposes with the landowner's private property interests, height and location of vegetation, trees, and landscaping unless expressly prohibited by the law. So that's a bit of a mouthful, but the state does give local jurisdictions quite a bit of control over how they seem fit to zone their community. And there's this balancing act that the code touches on where you have all of these uses, all of these different issues that the state has set up, that the land use authority, the city council, can regulate. However, that is balanced with the landowner's private property interests. So that's kind of the key here tonight. Section 10-9A-505 further states that the legislative body may divide the territory over which it has jurisdiction into zoning districts of a number, shape, and area that it considers appropriate to carry out the purposes of this chapter. So this authority is granted to the state, from the state to the city, and that's what we have here tonight. In many cases, the land use issue that comes before the city council or comes before the planning commission is, it falls within a zone, and the proposal may meet all of the requirements of the zone. And in those cases, the City Council and the Planning Commission doesn't have a lot of jurisdiction or leeway or latitude, however we want to say that, in interpreting land use code. They're there to make sure that the proposal meets code. And so in this case, it's a little different in that the City Council and the Planning Commission have a lot of leeway in weighing the interests of the private property rights, both the landowner of Lot 26 and the landowners lots 1 through 25 surrounding. So you have this dynamic at play here. I've had the opportunity to meet with a number of the residents that surround this area, and they're some of the nicest folks you'll ever meet. But they have expressed many concerns as it relates to the development of this property. One of them being that they feel that when they purchased the property, it was open space, and they would like to see it stay as that zoning designation that it was when they purchased the property. They would like to see that carried on in perpetuity. Additionally, they shared some concerns about what would happen ultimately if there was a development here. And by development, let me touch on that real quick. The development in question takes just a quarter of this lot here and parcels it off. And you can see this yellow line is approximately what the proposed lot would look like. It's just under, it's about 0.4 of an acre, and it would, size-wise, it fits within the neighborhood. This crosshatched area, the yellow and white, is what is being proposed as a trail easement. This Oak Road land has always been in the general plan as part of a future development for a park. And when we use the term park here, we use it more in terms of natural vegetative area with possibly a trail, maybe some benches. Very open. It would keep its open space character as part of the development there. So that's the proposal at hand tonight. This piece is a very difficult piece to develop, and I want to show a video that's provided by a developer. I went past. So this is a drone flying in the western direction. The property actually begins about right here. There's two open space parcels. We're talking about the one that we're going to fly over right now. But you can kind of see, get a sense for what the slopes are back here. These backyards steeply drop off here. And then it gets really narrow here at this choke point right here. But then it's flat up at the top near the road, but then it drops off quite substantially down to the homes below. The lot in question is a proposed lot that's going to go about right here. So just with that in mind, you can kind of get a sense for what the slopes are like and the difficulty of developing a trail, the difficulty of developing a home, whatever it is. The slopes there make it not impossible, but a challenge. So this was before the Planning Commission last month. It's been before the Planning Commission a number of times, and the Planning Commission recommended that the lot be rezoned, the open space be vacated, and that the home be rebuilt. Now, if that were to happen, the process for that to go through, you're not approved. If you were to approve the vacation of the open space and the rezoning of the property, that doesn't give anyone a buildable right. At that point, it allows the landowner to begin the process of the subdivision. So they would come back through with the concept of preliminary and final plans before the Planning Commission and the City Council. So that would be the process according to the City Code. So the Planning Commission did vote to recommend that. Part of that is because, and there's a few of them here, so I don't want to speak too much, but I'm going to let them comment. But I know that this has been an issue that has been before the city a number of times, and this is an issue that the city's dealt with on this piece specifically for about 40 years. And I believe the Planning Commission saw this as a reasonable solution. However, I mean, this is the big however, is that the homeowners in the surrounding area have strongly objected to the development of this open space. We've heard on a number of occasions, and not just in this neighborhood here, but all throughout the community, that there's a real desire to protect open space. We saw that in 2015 when there was a tacit proposal to possibly redevelop a golf course. You saw a lot of the residents there around the golf course say, no, we moved next to a golf course and we expect it to stay a golf course. Now, this is where you have your jurisdiction that's been given to you by the state, is that you are able to know, you are able to do what's best for the community. And one thing I found that was telling was that before the last Planning Commission meeting, I believe Mayor Reese put this up on the city's Facebook chat.
It's
a city Facebook chat. It is not run by the city. But normally my meetings have been solely with people of the surrounding area. When that went up on the Facebook page, I know that there was a number of residents in the community that strongly objected to any rezoning of the open space, just on the terms of that if you rezone open space, you don't get it back. And that's kind of the sentiment that's been shared with me. So, am I missing anything? I'm going to touch on it real fast, but this isn't, I don't believe that this is the crux of the matter. I don't believe that it's anything to make a decision based on solely, but let me just share this. One thing that was discussed quite extensively in the Planning Commission meeting was some of the encroachments that occurred from some of the neighbors into what is the open space. This map shows property lines and where some of that building has gone beyond property lines. You can see the fence here has gone up beyond the property line, retaining walls here, and then there's a couple other issues. This is a civil issue. It's an issue between landowners. It's an issue between homeowners of these and current landowners of this case. As a city, I've bounced around some ideas of how the city could possibly deal with it, and I'm not in love with any of the ideas I've come up with. So I honestly don't know a clean resolution yet, because each approach of the code poses a different problem. For example, I brought this up in the work session, but this piece has always been part of the trail system, or proposed trail system. Getting a trail through here is difficult enough, as you saw, with the slopes as they are. But the encroachments have gone so far that it's a narrower choke point for this area. And getting a trail through this area would be very, very difficult, I believe, and to meet all of the ADA requirements that we would have to meet for a trail system. So there, even if this land were donated to the city and we wanted to put a trail in it, it would be very difficult. It would be very challenging to do so, given some of the environmental restrictions there that have been built. But like I said, that's part of the discussion, but I don't believe it's the entirety of the discussion. I think there's a lot of play here. Mayor, Council, are there any questions I can answer this time?
Mr. Jones.
My name is Lance Jones. And get you to the city, it looked like it would be the best for the community too. And so that was the point, to get a small parcel about it's after the trail easement that we're proposing, it leaves 0.42 tenths of an acre, and just short of a half acre left on the proposal that we were proposing to rezone. And the rest of it, which is about 1.2 total parcel is 1.69 acres, and we're gifting all the 0.42 to the city. Now, this isn't something that's new for the city. Lot 25 in the subdivision was open space that was a lot of open space, and I think it was in 1984. And combined with the building lot, which is directly across the street from Lot 26. And this is not something that's not been done, it's something that's been done on the adjacent neighborhood. The trail is there. But when I look at the parcel, I was appalled at the number of encroachments that people over there in the protected property have been done to the parcel. And I'm reading the library from the Denver property and the development. And as such, because private property owner can apply and put fencing around it and just make a horrible.
Sorry, can you just pull the microphone back a little bit? Just pull it down a little.
That better?
Yes.
And in doing it, there's a transition period that I think the city can go through with the adjacent owner that have encroached on to cooperate and interact with the encroachments without involving a lot of legal issues. And when I took a look at that, the best proposal, my first proposal was to donate back to the people around the park, which required an issue of the proposal. But then the question came up of open space and so by giving it to the city, this space leaves open space, these are open space, on 1.29 tenths of an acre. And then there's one buildable lot on the parcel that will meet the conformity of the neighborhood. It's not doing something that's going to lower values. It's not going to do something that's going to issue. But by doing it, the city, I think we can work with the city and show the people how everybody can win. The city can win, the people can win, everybody can win. This is which I think.
Thank you. Council, any questions, Mr. Jones?
So are you the property owner?
Excuse me?
Are you the property owner or just?
I'm under contract to purchase the property. It was an agreement from the current property owner to cooperate in this gift.
Okay. And how long have they owned this property? How long have they owned the property?
He's owned it for years and he's paid taxes on it for years. I've just been involved in the property for the last 6 weeks.
I have a few couple questions.
I feel like
the mics aren't working at all. Can you hear me out there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. So I have a question. You've been only involved a few months. You said 6 months or so.
Correct.
So during the 6 months, have you met with everybody that's all the homeowners that are adjacent to you?
No, there was two of them there when I went to them and talked to them. I know there's been a number of neighborhood meetings to discuss what this would do, what it wouldn't do. I know that there have been some accusations and some concerns about anybody developing the property. And my problem is my background is as a real estate developer for about 50 years. I think that when you propose something like this, you've got to consider not only the surrounding community, but the city too. And my first thought was literally see if we could divide the property up and gift it so they can enter the town and usually do it if the city could approve, you know, the break of the property. The complications of creating a city that property in the city, because eventually, depending on how development happens, the people that have the additional land could end up asking for basically a flat lot or subdivision split. That's untenable for the city in most cities. And so the best thing to do then was to gift it to the city, to the space. The reason that we kept out the small buildable lot was to make it economically feasible for us to gift it to the city. You know? And then solve and quiet the problem, because I believe that if this proposal is introduced, accepted with the city, will quiet the issues of repeating, because we have a constant 2600 acres of development in Rafa over and over and over and over again. And are there more buildable lots? There possibly could be, but they're extremely difficult and they could affect the appearance of the neighborhood. And so the best thing to do is analyze it was literally to gift the open space to the city that would require the issues. Because the city's not going to use this open space.
Any other questions for Mr. Jones?
I guess the other question I've got is, I know you said you met with two of the homeowners.
I met with most of them.
Most of them. Has the owner of the property met with the homeowners? The person who actually wants to live?
I can't address that because I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think he is going to. I know that he's been the pincushion for their attitudes for years. And some of it is justified. And these people have property around this open space. And they need protected property from fires, from all kinds of, you know, issues. However, private open space isn't public open space. And they've trespassed. And they've caused a serious financial possible issue for themselves. And it's unfair to them. But this process that I'm offering will quiet them and make it functional for everybody to move for a long time. The cause of the situation, take what's happened by omission and commission, and quiet it.
I got one. So the omission and commission, I don't see how, and explain to me how cutting off the one piece where we can see the fence lines and all that, how taking that from private issue and then putting it on the city, how that's beneficial to the city. I mean, that's all you're doing is you're transferring liability from the current owner to the city, because we're going to have the same issues up there that you have right now.
Let me go over something that I passed it on already to check. My land development time mainly was up in the Northwest. It was up in Washington State, Oregon, and the United States up there. I think I was doing a job. I've seen other cities with a similar situation, or basically a long-term situation that was corrected by the city in a very positive situation. As we all know, part of the way that we think America's going to develop is the railroads were given every other center as their property to develop the railroads. And there's a town up in the state that's called Richmond, Washington. And it's a town, quite honestly, very similar. A little bit larger, but very similar to see the rest of the surrounding area. And one of the subdivisions, one of the large sections of that city, is an area called Meadow Springs. Meadow Springs, as was in a section of property that was owned by the Working North Railroad. So we, as developers and other developers, got together and proposed a 100-year lease on the open space that was in Meadow Springs that the city wanted to incorporate. And we arranged for a 100-year lease that was nominal with a 100-year option on it. And this can be done on this property too. It can alleviate, instead of trying to transfer ownership or sell ownership, the city can lease the property until they're ready to go ahead with their city plan when the time comes up. But they can lease it for a nominal amount under the same general guidelines and receive whatever they agree to. But to the city, to the people, it's a much more affordable thing because one, they didn't have to buy it. As an example, the lots in Meadow Springs have $1 million homes on them. They have lots of subdivisions with very expensive homes. And with that situation, the lease agreement on the land was nominal. It wasn't like buying a lot. And so the people could go in and lease lot X and build on it. And the mortgage companies, because of the lease on it, because the city had basically a 200-year lease on it, so looked at it as feasible. And so with leasing it back to the people for a nominal amount, I think that can be done, and I'd be more than willing to sit on committee free of charge and share my knowledge on that. Because I think it would benefit each of the people that's been told. It would make the liability that's been caused. And when I look at another one of my expertise is back, I spent a number of years in real estate appraisal, and I was certified in several court systems, federal and district court systems, as an expert real estate witness. And in doing that, you have to make sure that you just flat don't represent something that isn't defensible. And so I believe, honestly, that this leasing process is an affordable, effective balm, as you want to call it, overcome what's happened over time by circumstances. And I was impressed with the people. They each have a right to express their feelings. They each have a feeling that they don't want something in them, and that's perfectly great. Except the city has to make that decision. Now, when we presented to the Planning Commission, a lot of these same issues were brought out. The leasing process wasn't explained to them. But I think that it could be a very safe, instead of trying to parcel off and sell, the open space, that the 30 foot, the 40 foot, the 50 foot that's been encroached on this property, for whatever it be, until the city's ready to go ahead, can be done through a simple leasing process.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Jones?
Uh-huh.
Were you aware of the situation with this property, we entered into a contract with Mr. Parsons to purchase it? Did you know the history of what had happened on this land with trying to develop in the past and how it hadn't been?
I can tell you some of it, but I don't know all of it. I don't. I've heard, in fact, when I was, I talked to one of the neighbors, and quite honestly, he's a builder and developer, and I respected that, I respected all of it in great way. And he was part of the group that you guys dealt with last summer, last fall, last year, because there was a developer trying to put multiple houses on this property. And quite honestly, had I been there, and I told the people in the district, I would have been on their team stopping it, stripping it, but it wouldn't have been simple. A lot of their expertise on this, that property can be developed into multiple properties because there's no fire engine turnaround, and the fire marshal can't sign off on the lease, on the property. Because of the way that the property lies, there can't be a turnaround created anywhere in that property unless it's a through street for a fire engine. The fire marshal won't be allowed to sign on the development on that property. It's improperly configured unless the streets around the open space are used for the development.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other questions for him? Thank you. Chairman Drakes, is there someone from the Planning Commission or members of the Planning Commission that wanted to share some input or insight into their decision to be at last meeting?
I think several are planning that. I would say that it's the last meeting, so I want to speak.
I will welcome members of the Planning Commission to come up at this time.
Good evening. Thank you for listening to us. My name is John Dredge. I'm from 4648 West, and I'm in the north in Cedar Hills. I just wanted to make sure you heard the viewpoint of at least one member of the Planning Commission prior to making your own deliberations as land use authority. I acknowledge that this item has become a very emotional one for some of the residents and they have a question. Examples may be found in the petition that's been presented. It's clear from many of the comments the proposed change to the zone was not clearly understood by all the signatories. The petition is from last July before the current proposal was made. Several people on the petition insisted that this area remain a park. It is not a park. I very much like the idea of having open space that can be appropriately used for the benefit of nearby residents. This is not what I've observed with this land. What this parcel may be currently used for is extremely limited. Being private property, there is no allowed use for public parks, trails, or play areas. Several of the adjoining residents have encroached on the land, as has been discussed. The bulk of the parcel remains overgrown annually with grass and weeds and is, at best, kept in a poorly maintained state. It represents, in my opinion, a significant fire hazard and does not give the impression of an open or park-like environment. This parcel is and has been problematic since the incorporation of the city. Again, as we've discussed, it's difficult to have open space that is designated in the plan for parks and trails that is privately owned. Generally, a new development or subdivision would handle it differently. In this case, we of course have to deal with the issues we've inherited. I know that to some residents, this is a very simple issue. They would just prefer that nothing on the property be changed. The simple truth is that sometimes right things can and do change. Land in question had to have zoning changes made in order to create the original subdivision. One of the lots, as has been discussed, 25 on the original Cedar Hill subdivision Pat I, as filed in 1976, was originally designated as open space. This open space now has been combined with lot 7 as a house on it. Change is not always bad. As a planning commission, we try only to recommend changes that will serve the best interests of the residents of our city as a whole. I reiterate that I'm very much in favor of increasing both the quality and size of our parks and trails system. It is my personal opinion that this may be best accomplished by rezoning a small portion of the parcel in question to R111,000. Regardless of the decision that you make this evening, I hope you consider the time, thought, and effort that the Planning Commission has spent prior to making this recommendation to you. Thank you.
Anyone else for the Planning Commission? Okay, can you hear me better? This is better. I also want to come forward as one of the commissioners to clarify with the city council why I voted the way I did. And let me say to the residents, I understand what it is to come before the city and fight for your neighborhood. I have to do that too. So I understand the emotions that are there to preserve what you have. However, I want to quote on page 29 of the general plan, goal 4. It's a policy. If a development or zone change is found to be beneficial to the community by the Planning Commission will recommend that the general plan and land use element be amended. And then you guys, as legislative body, would approve that recommendation. Now, let me just give you a little history that may illustrate why sometimes, for the benefit of the whole community, rezoning happens. 21 years ago, we bought a lot down on 4680 West. It bordered, now people say, you knew what that land was when you bought it. Yeah, I did. It was not commercial. It was a privately owned orchard, and it was beautiful. And we were thrilled. And knowing the Harvey family, as we did, they told us that, you know what, this is not even profitable, and they had to put the land up for sale. Eventually, this is around 2000, eventually the city bought it, but did not rezone it to be commercial until 2007. Now this had a huge impact of all the homes that were there already built before that was all commercial. So that's my point, is that we knew what it was, and it wasn't what it is now. But for the greater benefit of this city of Cedar Hills, our commercial zone expanded. And the impact on us is, well, we're trying to mitigate as much as we can, but we need this commercial zone. Now, this is different in a little bit from what will impact you. 0.4 acres is far different than the 9 acres that was behind us. So, and I'm not making this point to, like, we need to serve around sour grapes about this. That's not the point. But it's been brought up that, you know, zoning must not happen. We zoned it this way, took it this way. Things happen, and when it's for the benefit of the community as a whole, and it makes sense, zoning can happen. Rezoning can happen. Now, so I hope I never have to hear that argument. You knew what it was when you bought it. Sometimes it changes. So this past summer, and also rezoning has happened also just recently this summer. The commission recommended and the council approved the rezoning of what's known as the smart property from SP1 to PD1, private plan development. So I want to reiterate that precedent for rezoning from time to time. So the city does have an obligation to its residents, but there's not a legal obligation that they must never change what once was. Now, I think there's a greater benefit to the city, and this is why. To protect the land, these are the benefits, to protect the land, the rights of the landowner, to provide the residents of that street and other citizens of Cedar Hills with a 15-foot easement, a street entrance to a city-owned and maintained walking nature trail, which is what many people have said in the letters they have submitted to the Planning Commission and the City Council. We, over the past year, I've reread everything. We want this to be a maintained walking trail, nature trail. That is not what that is. So if you want that to happen, then other things need to happen first. And some of these letters are from some of you that are here, that we would want this to be, please, you know, put this into a park and trails as stated in the general plan. We need to improve this. We need to increase our number of park trail, our parks to population ratio. This could be improved for walking. It's a fire hazard. We worry about it. There was someone who came to comment that stated, I never let my kids walk through that. It's just a weed trap, thorn, briar patch, and it's not safe. So I think that would benefit the residents of that street that was donated and maintained by the city and improved. I think that even in the petition here, I have this petition and I've gone through the petition, and almost everyone who commented, who bothered to comment, said, please make a park. And even some of you that are here said, please build a park for the kids. That is not what's there. So I would say that if we want to do that, then this is the good solution, to rezone this tiny part of it and let it be donated and improved. Now, the other problem, of course, that's been mentioned is the encroachment issue by those homeowners. a lot of the residents have public commented that this is not really the issue. Now, it's not the issue for them, but I would say to the landowner and to the city, it is an issue, and it's illegal. But the land is donated to the city can take care of this problem to residents directly with negotiation. Finally, there is a precedent on Oak Grove itself, as was brought up by Mr. Jones, where open space was rezoned to from the public facility to the R111,000, allowing one lot to be built. It was a combination of two lots, and this was in March of 1984. That lot was in, lot number 27, and that was bought by a contractor and built, the home was built by Reed Swenson, and who was incidentally one of our state presidents at that time. This is the very lot that the Hazelbaggers now live on. So this lot now, this house that sits on that lot now blocks the views and open space that their neighbors once enjoyed. But it was for the benefit, you know, of this, and I don't think that any of those neighbors could say that having the Swensons or the Hazelbacks in our neighborhood is not a benefit to them. So I just want to clarify, this is why I voted to recommend approval. I think the residents really want a nice open space park, then this is the way it can be done quickly. It's a benefit to the landowner, the residents on Oak Road. It's a win for the city, and it's a win for the citizens of Cedar Hills in general.
Anyone else with planning commission?
My name is Steve Thomas. I live at 1152 North Canyon Drive. I'm on planning commission. And I kind of led the charge on the recommendation to the council. And part of the reason why, as we've heard, this has been an issue for 4 years. It's been an issue longer than I've been alive. So my understanding is it's never actually gotten to council before. The planning commission has never recommended a permanent change before. It's always kicked the can down the road. And part of the reason I wanted to push this a little bit is so that the council had the opportunity to talk about it and vote on it. And, you know, whichever way it goes, now it's in your court and it's not their court. And I think that's an important thing to note here. I'm a big advocate of private property rights, and also I have a background in urban planning, so I studied some of these things pretty extensively. So I feel like that there is an opportunity here, and I think John's words were at one time, this is an elegant solution to a very complicated problem. Not only are there are civil issues with property encroachments, there's also fire safety, there's also private property, but zoned is open space. Those are not normal things. I did a lot with open space when I was a planner in Virginia, and we had a public purpose for all of the property that was acquired. There wasn't open space sitting there, either without like a heritage designation or an environmental designation or a public purpose. There's a proposed public purpose here that could be met mostly by this proposal. I mean, some people will not be happy about it, but it prevents us from spending a lot more money than we want to purchase the property later, which is the plan as I understand it. So with property prices in Utah County going the way that they are, the likelihood that there will be a proposal like this in front of planning commission or council pretty regularly is pretty high. So that's why we wanted it to be in front of the decision-making body, because it's going to continue to come up, and there won't be any closure on it until one of two things happens. Either the city owns it or it's developed. And then every other time we just have to sit and talk about it. So that's the reason I voted the way I did and kind of pushed this agenda a little bit so that you would have an opportunity.
David Driggs, 9465 North, 3940 West Cedar Hills.
So our last planning commission meeting, I was not in attendance. I had been down, so just to be aware, I didn't vote on this. Just for a little disclosure. But it's been in front of planning commission several times before. And this is a tough, tough topic. And candidly, as it's come up each time to planning commission, each time it's come up, I've walked over my position. It's like one night I was like, oh, about property rights. And the next night I'm like, well, public has property rights too, right? So tonight I'm kind of around the word expectation, right? So the landowners that purchase homes there had an expectation, right, that this would be open space when they bought their land. When the landowner bought the land with open space, he or she, I don't know who the owner is, probably should not have had an expectation that someday the city would change it to not be open space. So kind of side of the word expectation, I think you could probably side with the public on that merit, because I think they have a greater level of expectation than the landowner did. Now, having said all that, there's a city public interest here as well, and that is, originally, when this came in front of the planning commission a year or so ago, my concern was around public safety and the fact that public facility zone was not subject to nuisance ordinance, so there's no abatement, all sorts of things. And we've cleaned that code up now, so now the public facility zones are. So we've dealt with that. However, there's a variety of things that are permitted in a public facility zone if you read the code. I won't go through the list here. There's a variety of things that are permitted in a public facility zone that I'm sure the public here that have no interest in that being there. I do apologize for referring a house to be there versus the variety of globules of things that actually is permitted there. So I think the public should also keep that in mind, that the landowner is a privately held property, right? There's the talk about a desire for a park. Well, the land's privately held. It's never going to be a park as long as it's privately held. So if the public wants to have a park there someday, it has to get into the city's hands in some manner. And this sounds like the compromise manner that the landlords come up with to potentially make that happen. So it's a little bit of a tough decision, right, about where to go with this. But I think that if the city wants to gain control of the land, to control what can occur and what can go into that public facility zone, they probably need to find a path forward to obtain the land. Either by purchasing the entirety of the parcel, or potentially approving this plan and painting the other part of the parcel. So there you go. Now you're probably going to waffle just as much as I did in which path to take. But I'm not going to use my position higher other than what I just expressed. And,
all right. So the presentation portion is. Mr. Goodland, did you have anything else you needed to add?
I'll wait
till. Okay. So we are going to move into the public hearing portion of the meeting. When I call your names, come up to the microphone. Please start with your name and your address, and then you will have 3 minutes to make your comments. You'll start. Let's see, John, Rich. Okay, Dave Free. Yes.
My name is Dave Free. I live at 4309 West Oak Road, which is just the property to the north of the property. Most of you heard from me last time. For those who didn't, I just want to make a couple notes. Jeff Dodge's last time, he was the sending vote, and he talked about commercial property in the golf course and the ability to expect what you bought and what was next to you. And we look at open space at a premium in Cedar Hills, and it only has so much open space. What are we going to do with that? We're going to sell it off for one house to be built, which is different than 9 acres of commercial property. We're talking about one piece. And if we're talking about bottlenecks and whatnot, is that 15 feet of trail going into that bottleneck, does it mean anything at all? Not really. So we're talking about encroachments. We're talking about all these different fire hazards and things, which are really not what is in discussion here. Is this piece of property going to be switched from a public facility to R111,000? Which the price of an R111,000 piece of property, this one here, as well as the adjoining property, the value on that goes up hundreds of times, hundreds of percent. And so if we keep it in the public facility space, we actually keep the price down so the city is able to purchase that at a reasonable price. Now, with the things that were said from the Planning Commission, we greatly appreciate the time that they spent on this. But the fire hazard and stuff, that has no issue here except for the ordinances to be upheld. That property is never, ever, besides what the city does, the 5 feet of weed abatement, in the 12 years that I've lived there, in the 22 years I've lived in Cedar Hills, never once have weeds been taken down anywhere on that piece of property. If it's weed infested, road infested, it's because it has not been kept up. We don't consider it a park. It's not a park. It's the potential of a park is what we're arguing. And so we can argue about what's in there and the chokehold. That can all be taken care of. What these things look like down the future or in the future is really not what we're discussing, I don't believe, tonight. It should switch from a public facility to R11000, and we believe that's not the case. I would ask also that you ask Mr. Jones if he's planning on residing in this residence. I don't believe he is. I believe he's planning on building this piece of property and leaving the area. And we get stuck with what he left behind. We would appreciate it that it would be public space and it would be either an opening to a bigger park down the way, but that does have to be discussed at some point down the road. I'm not talking about how the park's going to look. There was discussion in the planning commission meeting about can the police see what's happening down inside this park? Probably not. But that's not, again, what's in the discussion or an issue there, because you can go down to the trail system throughout Cedar Hills and there's places where the police can't see what's going on. For the residents that live in this neighborhood, and I live right across the street from it, it is important for us to keep that as open space and not have one more house and less open space. So we would invite you, we would ask you to keep it in the public facility space and not move to the R11000, which will allow the price to stay down and allow you to purchase it in the future to accomplish what the city had originally planned on doing with this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gray. Steve Spear.
Hi, my name is Steve Spear. I live at 9937 North, 4680 West. I don't border this property, but I'll tell you, as a resident of Cedar Hills, I can't enjoy it or use it at all. And I know it's a private property, so there's not really much that can be done. But if it does become a park that's city maintained and owned, then I can use it. So I have no way to use it or to enjoy it, just so you know. The bulk of the residents in Cedar Hills have no way to have any access or enjoyment of this property. And then the other thing I just wanted to make sure I clarify again, I've heard from too many people too many times that the people that border the commercial property, that they knew they were buying the zone commercial. Well, it not only wasn't zone commercial, it was not owned by Cedar Hills, it was unincorporated Utah County. And so there's no way that it could have been zone commercial. And it was 9 years after that all those homes were built that was then finally zone commercial. So things do change. They change for the benefit of the residents. As a resident that's not against that, not near the houses, I have no way to enjoy that property. If it does become a park, if it's owned by the city, if it's maintained by the city, if it's a trail, then I can.
Thank you. Ken Hazelbaker.
My name is Ken Hazelbaker, 10253 North Oak Road West. New Swenson property is referred to. My name is Hazelbaker, not Hazelbaker. That's okay. You've seen the petition, 150 names of the people who live in that area. We've got 8 pages of Facebook comments. And so let's round that off to 200. You've got 200 people living in this area who have always wanted this to be open space, have elected you to help us, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union or a more perfect neighborhood or a more perfect community, have elected you to be able to help with perfection. So we've got 200 people who've always enjoyed it. We've had 40 plus years. I don't know of any lawsuit that's come up for liability and other things. We've got along somehow. Encroachments can be corrected. Please don't give up the most valuable piece for this to be used to ultimately develop. It was purchased as a tax lien, from what I understand, on speculation. That's his business, okay? I've lived in Richland, Washington. I know where he's talking. Our son was born there, okay? Yeah, you can build a $1 million lot. You can't build $1 million lots very well there without spending $1 million first. The one lot there is really desirable and fitting into the whole plan. I appreciate what, I guess, Dave Free said. We can work out with little choke points. I'm an engineer. I know how things can be worked out. And I just, the other thing, I'd like to see you continue what has, you know, been the history. I don't know how much time I got left.
1 minute.
1 minute, okay. But anyway, I understand it's on the general plan. I know things can change sometimes. But I really don't believe the community benefits by one more house. Especially by a person who's already said he's not going to live there. Okay? He's an outsider. He's just going to flip it for money. We, as the residents, that's our area. 200 people say, we like it like it is. So, I'd appreciate if you would consider that. The more you stand firm, the more the word gets out to the developers, this is not up for grabs. But every time they think, oh, there's a chance, Chandler has done a remarkable job of researching this. I think we, as a community, have probably done the greatest marshalling to show you what we feel. So, just ask you to consider that you're representing the people, and we hope that you will deny this, continue. Because what will happen is it becomes really easy. The next time it comes up, all you got to say, we've already decided that.
John Hahn.
Good evening. My name is John Condi. I'm in 4221 West Oak Road North. Thank you for this opportunity. Normally, my wife Sherry would be here standing, and she sends her apologies, especially to the neighbors tonight, as she was called out of state and is with a family member at this time. But first, I guess I would like to say to the members of the Planning Commission that quoted the petition. We got 150 names on application. I'm not crowing here, but I personally got 60 of those names. I spent 2 days doing it, and one thing I heard, and it may have said, I want a park, and I want this, I want that. What they did say was, I do not want to see it zoned residential. That's what I heard from all of them. It took time speaking with them, but I got to hear it firsthand from most people. And I didn't know most of those people I was talking to. They didn't sign that because I was a nice guy. I wasn't out selling Girl Scout cookies or anything like that. They signed it because they want their voice to be recognized, that they did not want it changed. So for whatever reason, they wanted to leave it the way it was. You know, my wife would always quote chapter and verse and research this very, very much in the last year or so, and shared that with all of the neighbors. The only quote I guess I could have is from our renowned former Senator Jake Garn, who said, everyone has the right to their own opinion, but not everyone has the right to their own set of facts. I thought that's well spoken. And I know that we've heard this thing back and forth so long, we've heard it all, and we've heard a lot of opinions, and we've had many facts come out. I appreciate you, Mayor and City Council members, who have had the desire to see this position that you hold. And we have the faith and trust in you because of your character, your integrity, that you will make the right decisions for this community, whatever they may be. We do not know all of the procedures and protocols you go through, but I know there's a certain thing that you have to follow, and you have to stay on that pretty well, on track. I'd like to say that we've appreciated the time that you have given, the diligence to this matter and your transparency with us, the community, on this. So, win, lose, or draw tonight, whatever the people's choices may be here that are sitting here, we still want you to know this decision's up to you. We trust you. We appreciate you. Thank you.
That is everyone I have who has signed up. Is there anyone else that came tonight that wants to make public comment? Come on up.
Kathy Haynes, 10185 Oak Court. It's right there at the bottom here. Let me start by saying I have been here all these years. I was one of the original people to pass around petitions to have Cedar Hills incorporate themselves. My husband was the home teacher for the five homes in Cedar Hills. Okay. So I have been here for a long time. We've had some good groups that were the leaders and some not so good that were the leaders. And I was really rather against my doubts over their thoughts. I just want to say, so some of the things that we talked about tonight, I think there are 2 points that I'm thinking of. I'm hoping you remember the hillside disaster where you paid for all those homes that got destroyed after President Swenson did do not build them. He said that is not stable ground. But because some of the developers, my husband did this with stuff, wanted it land, they managed to get it done, and then Cedar Hills ended up in a park because they had to pay for all that land because the homes got destroyed. And I'm looking at this, and I've lived here for 82, whatever year that was, 82, and it's always been open, and yes, it's never been taken care of. It's because it was supposed to be a horse path, and it was supposed to be kind of wide open. Nobody was there. However, nobody ever took care of it because it was just wide. And my kids ran through it, and my grandkids ran through it, and I'm not particularly concerned, but I am concerned about you start developing it. Same thing's going to happen on this hillside because of the hill here. And I really want you guys to be responsible for that because it comes down, we'll be responsible too because the taxes will pay us too. So that and two, I appreciate the fact you guys are willing to make hard decisions. This is kind of a hard decision. It's a small little thing that I agree with him that he said, what happens sets the precedent. Are you going to let bigger people say, yeah, they will pay a little more money to do it. Are you going to listen to the people that live there? And I would like, maybe we should have another petition signed by all the people that are directly right there. Because I think they'll find, I don't think there's one of us that wants anything to happen there. And I said last time, build the home over there, build homes over there, and the two ends where it's access, but not through the middle where it was supposed to always be kind of wild and open. And yes, we did. And I think at some point there would be green land, park, hillside, something there. So anyway, and I appreciate you guys willing to do the hard job and do this for us. But that's all I have to say is kind of look at it that way. Thank you. Sorry. Thanks. Thank you.
Good evening, guys. Thank you so much for being here and hearing us out on initiatives part of us. My name is Eric Richardson, 4275 Sandalwood. Beautiful view of this open space out here behind you tonight, as you can see it. Open space is great. So baking pancakes, that's something we can all agree on. But sometimes when we talk about other things, it gets a little bit passionate. So thank you for realizing that this is an important issue to us. I'm also here to share my knowledge free of charge. I would like to rebut point by point some of the things that Mr. Jones said, but I have an equal amount of time to be able to do that. So I'm just going to condense down and maybe get to the most salient points here. I too have done a little bit of land development. Rule one of land development is get as many free rights as you can. I think that's kind of what we're talking about here. So know, we reviewed the history of the parcel and how it was always open space and was never a building lot. We talked about how it was acquired by speculation. Nothing wrong with speculation and looking to capitalize on something, but that's the case. We've reviewed in the past how this parcel has never paid impact fees, and it doesn't generate income for our city. In fact, I just pulled up here a nice picture of the property tax notice for last year. And you'll see that they were, this parcel was supposed to pay as $1.75, but then they got their property paid because it's open space, and they actually paid a zero, and they haven't paid us even $10 over the last decade. I would like that deal. I'm sure I don't get it, so that's fine. But in this case, you know, we shouldn't talk about this as being someone who's contributed to our community, because they haven't. So really what this comes down to is on the action item, there's two different points. There's an and in between there. That and is very important. The first thing is that you're talking about rezoning, and the second thing you're talking about vacating. Now, rezoning, I wish you wouldn't rezone it. I don't see the purpose in that. It's ish-ish. I can see why someone might disagree with me, but that's pretty easy. The harder one is vacating. Vacating something is much different. In fact, our state in the Land Use Management Act has said that it's a different standard because our government expects that as citizens, we should be able to rely on things like easements, roads, open space. These things are very important. They're especially important. And we don't get just to disregard it because we have a change of mind. In 1098-609.5, it says that the city shall determine that good cause exists and that neither public interest nor any person would be materially injured by this vacation. Any person materially injured, I think that's a high standard. It's there for a purpose, and I think that's been met. And I think it'd be hard for anyone to argue that there is no person who is materially impacted by this and that it is in the public's best interest. So we can look at all those other things. You know, encroachment, that's a civil thing, but don't take away the open space from me because someone else encroached. Just because he has a hard time defending ending his adverse possession against him doesn't mean that I should lose my open space. Open space is nice, it's needed, even if it doesn't have a trail. I enjoy this open space here, and I would enjoy keeping that open space there. And so, finally, wrapping up, some people have suggested that splitting the baby here is the right thing to do, but let's just remember, Salton didn't actually split the baby. He used that to determine who was the real mother, and I think the members of our community, our family, we should honor that, and as the state says, that has a higher standard before we make something important as open space. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to speak today?
How do you know that people can come from the state so they know what it is and the definition of actual job?
We have a copy of the petition.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Thomas.
Steve Thomas, 101.2, Marketing and Drive. I'm on the line here, I did want to make a distinction, actually point out that there is no distinction between a developer and somebody who's going to live in the home or somebody who wants to rent the home. They all have property rights or could have property rights, and there shouldn't be any distinction. In fact, those kind of distinctions really smell like lawsuits usually when you start saying they're not going to live in the home or they're going to rent the home or something like that. There can't be a distinction. It has to be a, you know, single family, owner occupied. You can't say you get development rights because you want to build your own home versus you're going to develop a home for someone else. I think that's a very important point for us to always keep in mind.
All right, we're going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Mr. Goodwin, I'll have you come up. Before the council starts the deliberation, I do want to express appreciation to all the residents who have come out to share their views and for meeting with members of the council and the staff. We appreciate the time that you take to let us know how you feel. It makes our jobs a lot easier when we're hearing from residents of our community. And I also want to express appreciation for the Planning Commission. I know you guys spent a ton of time researching city code, understanding both sides of the issues, debating, agonizing over these decisions. So thank you for the service that you provide to our community as well. Mr. Goodwin.
Let me touch on a couple points that were made during the public hearing and maybe add a little bit of information. First of First, let me start about why the bottleneck actually matters, because the proposal from Mr. Jones states that this, he would then donate that to the city. So the portion of the land that the city would then be the owner of is the portion that's being encroached. So currently, this is a civil issue between the current landowner and the adjacent residents. If it's donated to the city, it becomes our issues for the landowner. That's why I feel like it matters. It's something I see, and I think the city council needs to be aware of. The planning commission was made aware of that. However, I don't feel like that is the end-all issue that needs to be, this needs to be decided on. I don't think that. I just feel like it's part of the equation. Secondly, the weed abatement is tricky on this because we don't require them to go and weed abate their whole property. We want them to just weed abate a fire break between their land and the adjacent land. So even if the city owned it, I don't believe that weed abate that you would see from the city's end would be any different than any current weed abate that's happening there too. So I just want to clarify that, because there's not, sometimes I feel like there might be an expectation that the city send a summer crew out and weed whack the entire 2 acres. And quite frankly, that's just not a good use of their time, given the amount of areas that they have to do weed abatement on in the city. To Mr. Thomas's point, if Mr. Jones is residing in the home itself, is not germane to the discussion. I heard the word precedent a few times, and I don't believe that either way, up or down, I don't believe that a precedent is being set here. Given the land use authority powers granted to municipalities by the state, you're able to look at land use issues on a case-by-case basis. You're not locked into future decisions based on what you decide tonight. So I don't believe that there is any, I just don't believe that there's a precedent being set here that you have to follow, that your hands are tied in the future. Nor do I believe that there's precedent that future city councils have to decide. A new city council will be coming to office in 2 years, so very differently than the current city council. That's just how local government is. I think that's all the points. I mean, any questions?
So sure. Since it was brought up, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but the comment was made that being in care facilities, there are other allowed uses that Mr. Parsons could do with that land that would have to be approved by the city. Do you know off the top of your head what those uses are?
Cemeteries, parks, power substations, or three that come to mind.
So he could propose any of those now in public facilities.
And that goes back to a comment earlier in that sometimes your hands are tied. So if you were to come back and say, I want to put a cemetery here, well, it's not allowed. I believe it's a condition. If someone's going to have to, I don't have my phone, I can't look it up. But I believe it's a use that's allowed there. And whether it's permitted or conditional in this case doesn't really matter, because if the conditions can be overcome, it's technically a permitted use. So those are uses that are allowed in the public facilities are.
Questions, comments, deliberations from the council?
I'll start. Since I'm on the end, I'll start. First off, I want to thank the residents for coming and expressing your opinions. I've read all your comments on the petitions, and I appreciate your comments. To the planning commission, Steve, Lorianne, Jeff, David, whoever else was, John. Thank you for all the time, because it's a tough decision, and there's a lot of implications here. And while I do side with property right owners and with the planning commission's position that land use decisions can evolve, I mean, nothing is set. I mean, the Spears are good examples of, I mean, they brought up some really good examples. So just because it was that way for 40 years doesn't necessarily mean it stays that way for the next 40 years. Land use decisions evolve. That's why we're elected. And you elect us to make those kind of decisions. They're not always easy decisions, but nevertheless, that's why we sit in these seats. So I've heard a lot. I'd just like to say my position is, you know, I love compromise. I mean, I'm a developer myself, I'm a builder. There's so much in this world that you have to compromise to make work. And I honestly think that the proposal is a good start of a compromise for the city. I think there's some good public benefits, like it's been stated by the Planning Commission, and I understand how they ruled, why they voted that way. I really do. But there's a lot of other problems too. And what I would say is, this, I don't mind this coming back. And for those who said, oh, we'll come back again and again and again, I don't care. I mean, I don't know how long I'll be sitting in this seat, but if the proposal gets better the next time, and if it's voted down tonight, okay, you have the right to bring it back tomorrow with a different proposal, and we have the right to review it. And so my biggest issues with this is that because the encroachment of things are civil matters, I honestly feel like that is, no offense, Mr. Jones and the owner, but that in effect is throwing problems back onto the city. And to say that we can handle them and resolve them very easily, we can't. It is expensive to do that. And so my biggest issue with that is that I would say solve the problems, solve the encroachments, understand it, where you are with the residents, fix those, and then come back. That's my recommendation.
Yeah, I agree with as most of you may know, I used to live on Oak Road North. So we bought a property, a lot, in 1992 on Oak Road North with the promise that the land across the street from us was open space, designated open space, and we never rebuilt on it. I do understand land use changes. I do understand zoning gets changed. But in this particular case, I don't see the benefit of changing the zoning here in the middle of this neighborhood for one house. I don't see the benefit to the neighborhood. At first glance, donating property to the city sounds like the best solution to this horrible problem. But when it comes down to it, what I'm looking at is what does everybody who lives around this property, what do they want? And they do not want a house there. The Planning Commission did exactly what they were supposed to do. The way they looked at this problem and the suggestion that they brought to the city council is a good solution. It's the perfect solution as far as code goes and zoning goes. And they did the right thing. But I'm responsible to you as residents of Cedar Hills. And to everyone who lives around there, everyone in Cedar Hills who wants to protect open space, land is scarce. They're not making more of it. We give up one building lot, doesn't seem like very much, but we can't get that back. And so my position is to protect the open space. And I don't care if we, just like Mike said, I don't care if we keep this can down the road. I'm ready to deal with it when we get down the road. Because I want that property to remain open space. And I agree the owner needs to deal with these encroachment problems, not the city. And so my position is to protect the open space, not vacate that open space in the building facility.
So I've got a few comments as well. First of all, I hope everybody understands and realizes how much thought has gone into this from all sides. I appreciate everybody's presentations and comments, because a lot of work has gone into this. My feeling is, and one of the words that kept coming up is the benefit to the city. I agree with Denise, I don't see the benefit to the city or the house. Now, possibly we argue that we're getting some park space out of this, but I know it's going to take a long time to put together, and I'm just not seeing the benefit from this particular compromise. I think there's a lot more work that should go into this. I think it's a good starting point, but I can't support what's been put here in front of us.
I too would like to tell the Planning Commission and all of you guys that have come and done a lot of legwork, going out and getting signatures and aiding the committees. I did jot down some notes. A lot of them have already been touched. So the last two parks, well, I should say the last park we built was Bay Hill, and the current one we're developing is Deerfield. And Bay Hill took 15 years to finally come to fruition.
Close to that, yes.
At least. And Deerfield, we're just barely starting. The parks are extremely expensive to build and maintain. You would think, hey, just put it in, all it takes is, you know, some lawnmowing and whatnot. There's so much more that goes into that. So I look at this piece of property, and yeah, if it was flat, and actually the proposed, where the home is, that was the one that they were going to give and wanted to go the other way. But this being developed into a park like the Signatures were saying, it just, I just, in my lifetime, I just don't see that happening. This is it possible? Absolutely. But it's going to be very expensive, very costly. The next issue I'd like to talk about is the fire hazard. And to me, for those that don't know, I have 25 years in the fire service. I was a fire marshal here for several years. This whole community is a fire hazard. The recent fire that we had was in my backyard. In fact, when they threw the call out to mandatory evacuation, it was coming to my house. I understand how fire works, and the thing with fire is people are scared of that word. I mean, we look at the air quality and the fires, and the battalion chief that just was killed in the fire. I mean, people are scared of fire. But I look at it a little different. A little different angle. Just because that's what my background is and I have a little experience there. If we wanted to keep all of Cedar Hills safe from fire, we would just have to put concrete everywhere. And that's just not gonna happen. And so, is this a little fire hazard? Yeah, I would say so. But if neighbors are worried about it, there's a website called firewise.org. that the government, the federal government, wildland firefighters have put out. And it just teaches those how to be, how to protect their own homes around areas like this. And it's very effective in those higher fire risk areas. The next thing, let's see what I wrote down. The liability, like was mentioned down there, that's all I see is the current owner transferring their liability onto ours. I get the lease and this and that. I just don't see how that's going to happen. I don't see how we would go to this home and say, hey, will you lease this from us? It's just legal battles after legal battles, and the city has spent a lot of money on legal battles, and just to take one on. I mean, I get the don't want to get horse in the mouth. But this gift horse is owned by four different people, and only one person, per se, has legal ownership of it. But three others have encroached on this horse, and yeah, it's a horse that I don't want to deal with. Greater benefit for Cedar Hills if it's developed. I see it both ways. It goes both ways. I can see, yeah, let's develop it in this way and leave it alone. I tend to say leave it alone. Costly for development. One thing that was mentioned was that if the city took it over, it would be very quick to deal with these residents on some of the encroachment issues. Now, that's a legal issue, and legal issues are not done quickly. And then private property rights, like Chandler mentioned, hey, it's a public facility, it's an open space. Bring back something that meets with our open space and whatnot, and you can have all the private rights you want as it is zoned. And so that's where I'm at with that.
I'll add my comments. I don't want to be the only one that doesn't, but I understand the position of the Planning Commission. I understand the idea behind the proposal and why we have considered it and why it should be considered. Frankly, a home on that portion to me makes sense. I don't live in the neighborhood, but I drive by there and it looks like a vacant lot to me. But that's not the issue. It's the rest of the parcel where I think that this compromise or proposal, I should say, is not right for the city. It leaves us with a portion that I view as useless. It's not going to be a park. You can only have a trail if we acquire the other property at the other end on the east side, and that's a whole can of worms that we haven't even opened or even broached yet. So we can't have an expectation it's going to go a certain way to connect that trail all the way through. It's insanely expensive to make a hillside of pretty green grass, and that's not feasible either. It's no secret that I've been an advocate for open space for Cedar Hills, and that includes public and private property. I don't see this proposal, as it's been presented to us, as solving the issues that need to be solved. It adds a home, it gives us a new bag of problems for the city to deal with, and then we have upset residents. I agree with Mr. Thomas of the Planning Commission that this issue won't be resolved until either we own it unencumbered or it's been developed in some way. So this obviously won't end it in this issue, but I can't support this proposal. I don't think that it is right for the city and right for the residents.
One more comment. Sure. I would just like to, well, I would entertain if the owner or whoever would like to sell it for fair market value, I would absolutely entertain that. I don't think it deserves a premium or a discount in any way, but if someone wants to bring in the proposal that owns it for fair market value, I would absolutely entertain that.
I agree with that too. And I would just like to see some engagement, some communication. I'm a little shocked and surprised that the owner didn't go and talk to the neighbors. So he's very elderly and veteran. How about you, Paul? But he's had it for years. In the 93 minutes, he was engaged with the owners. So it's been 25 years, but. That was the time to acquire. So I don't have time to be able to work something out. I'm a little but we're up to be wrong.
All right, Council, if there is no other comment or feedback, then I make a motion.
I'll make that motion. I would like to make a motion to deny ordinance, I guess it would be 08-21-2018A. Amending City Code Title 10, Chapter 3 regarding zoning the portion of Lot 26 Cedar Hills Subdivision Plat I from the public facility zone to the R1 11,000 residential zone and vacate the open space permission of the portion of Lot 26 Cedar Hills Subdivision Plat I and to amend the official zone map.
Yeah, don't
read that. And not to amend.
All right, I have a motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
We'll second that.
Seconded by Councilmember Ellsworth. Since this is an ordinance, we'll take a roll call vote. Councilmember Geddes.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth. Aye. Councilmember Bailey.
Aye.
Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Motion passes. That was the only item we had on our agenda today, so we'll take a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Motion made by Councilmember Geddes. Second.
Second.
Secondly, Councilmember Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
And we are adjourned.